Passage this morning comes to us from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. We're going to back up just a little bit for context and start with chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Having purified your souls by obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of grass. And the grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. This is the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Passage this morning, just to refresh our memories. In the first part of 1 Peter, you remember Peter telling us about our election, about the grace of God, the mercy of God in causing us to be born again, choosing us and causing us to be born again into this salvation that he speaks of. And then coming to the imperatives, after explaining the gospel, coming to the imperatives that follow, to be holy as God is holy. And here in our passage that we read this morning, at the end of chapter 1, to love one another earnestly from a pure heart. And then continuing into chapter 2 here, what we are... or to rid ourselves of, to put away malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander. And then again, what we are to crave. So we are born again by the grace of God. We are now growing up, as it were, in that grace. So you kind of see the progression there. Growing up into salvation, as Peter says, how we are to grow up into salvation. And that's an expectation that we do that, but it is also a necessity. Made possible by God, of course, but not without our cooperation. And so this idea of growing up, it's pretty much a universal expectation of life. Recognized by Christians as a principle that God has built into the very fabric of creation, of existence. We are commanded to be fruitful and to multiply. The seeds we plant, they're planted with the hope and expectation that in time they will grow up, produce fruit. As adorable as babies are, animals and human, the hope and expectation that in time that in time they will also grow up. So be it crops, animals, or children, a failure to grow up is without exception an occasion of disappointment and sorrow. Which is why we make every effort, usually, to protect and nurture those whom we expect to grow up. And in this passage this morning, Peter tells us that the same ought to be true of every born-again Christian within the church. And however, the very fact that he's telling us these things is an indicator that we need to hear it. The fact that he has to write this to the church as evidence that this isn't always the case. Right? The truth is that it's all too easy for us to lose sight of the fact that as with being born, being born again comes with the necessity and expectation that we should grow up more and more, stop doing the things that we shouldn't, and more do the things that we should. As Peter said earlier, having purified our souls by our obedience to the truth, it is by believing the truth of the gospel, the sincere brotherly love, we are to love one another earnestly from a pure heart. And so he says here, having been born again, not of a perishable seed, but of an imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God, which remains forever, we are to put away also all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. And like spiritually newborn infants that we are, crave the pure spiritual milk, that by it we would grow up into salvation. If you are a Christian, if you are of the elect, if you are chosen by God, if it is by the great mercy of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ that you have been caused to be born again through His living and abiding Word, if this is the salvation in which you sincerely rejoice, as Peter says in chapter 1, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, as he says here at the beginning of chapter 2, then the expectation and the necessity is that you would crave the pure spiritual milk, that by it you would grow up into this salvation. And Peter isn't using the word milk here as Paul and the author of Hebrews does elsewhere, as when writing to the church in Corinth and speaking of milk as a elementary doctrines or principles of the Christian faith compared to the meaty, deep ones. What he's speaking of here is that which is necessary for growth throughout the entire life of a Christian. This is the nourishment, this is the nurture, the pure spiritual milk that is necessary for every child of Christ. Everyone that has been born again, we must put away, Peter says, more precisely, take off or rid ourselves of all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander that which nourished or fed our old lives. It's how we made a name for ourselves, how we saved ourselves through all of those means, that which nourished our old life. And instead, we are to crave that which nourishes our new life in Christ. As infants, instinctively, eagerly, incessantly crave their mother's milk, as though their very lives depended upon it. It is needful for them. So they are. So we are to crave the pure spiritual milk that nourishes our lives in Christ, that by it we may grow up into salvation. We must rid ourselves, says Peter, of all malice, of all mean-spiritedness, viciousness, malignity, of all desire to harm or hurt or injure one another, of all deceit, of every thought of action of taking advantage of another through craftiness or underhanded methods by cunning or treachery, every form of hypocrisy, every pretense, every form of pretending by which our true motives, feelings, and beliefs are hidden. Every form of envy, every jealousy, covetousness, resentfulness, bitterness, spitefulness towards one another. And of all slander, of all speaking ill or evil of one another, of all speech that would defame or detract from one another, whether speaking, whether speaking it or tolerating it in our presence. Rid yourselves of it all, says Peter. And even though the word all doesn't appear with the words hypocrisy and envy, you can't see it in the translation, but those are plural words. So all hypocrisies, every hypocrisy, every envy. No, what all or each of these vices has in common is the intention or the potential to destroy relationships. To harm others. In fact, and if indulged in, whole communities. And as such, they have rightly been understood and labeled as poisons to communities. And so to the church, the earthly source from which every true child of God is nursed and nurtured. The one household of God, the one pillar and the buttress of truth on earth from where every means of grace obtained by Christ and is provided by the Father through Christ for the spiritual nourishment and nurture of those born again children of God. The body, the bride of Christ, the church. And it's not without good reason that the early church fathers understood and often referred to the church as the mother of all believers. Cyprian is famously quoted as saying, "No one can have God for their father who does not have the church for their mother." A sentiment embraced by the likes of Tertullian, Augustine, and much later, even Calvin himself, who all recognize that it is only through the church that believers receive the pure spiritual milk by which they may grow up into salvation. A milk consisting of the Word of God, foundationally, the Word of God, but not limited to the Word of God. Which is why Peter goes on to explain in verses 4 and 5 that we'll come through next week, that we individual living stones rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, are being built up into a spiritual house. The church. A holy priesthood for the purpose of offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The whole of which the Word of God is foundational, forming the pure spiritual milk that we are to crave, because as newborn children of God, we are needful of it. If we are to grow up into salvation. If you recall Peter and Barnabas' first missionary journey in the book of Acts, the Spirit's purpose in leading them out into the mission field was not merely to spread the word. But to gather together those who were born again through that word, through believing it, to gather them together into local churches for the strengthening of their souls and encouragement to continue in the faith. And Paul and Barnabas didn't return to their home church in Antioch until this purpose was accomplished, all of which they ascribed to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God opened hearts and minds to believe the Word. The Spirit of God gathered these people together into bodies in their local towns. And the Spirit of God appointed elders, deacons over these bodies for their strengthening and their encouragement in the faith. And it's the whole thing. The pure spiritual milk of God, the whole edifice. All the grace of God poured out on earth through His church. And as spiritual newborn infants, we need the pure spiritual food that corresponds to our new lives. Not just some of it, all of it. The pure Word of God, as well as a family who, having purified their souls by obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, truly and earnestly loves us. Truly and earnestly loves one another. We need it all. And that from pure hearts. This is what spiritually newborn infants, you see, have tasted in the Lord. It's what they crave. They crave it. I can remember when I first consciously noticed the change in my life brought about from reading and hearing the Word of God and being around the church. And I can remember craving it. I can get enough of it. Whatever they gave me, I read. Every event they had, I was there. I craved it. Couldn't get enough. And I wanted to tell everyone that I could about what I believed I had found before I realized that God gave it to me. But I wanted everybody to know, and I can remember being disappointed at how few people in my life were even remotely interested to hear it. But that didn't ever affect me as much as when I heard those in the church saying, "It's just a phase. You'll get over it. And then you'll be normal, just like everybody else." That scared me. I remember that scaring me. That affected me far more than those outside the church not wanting to hear it. To think that what I was craving was simply a passing phase. I didn't want to go back to normal. I didn't want to have anything to do with that other life. I was craving a new life. And the thought that it may be only passing was devastating. And I thank God that I was surrounded by people in the church still who said, "Oh no, maybe you should start teaching. Maybe you should start reading more. Maybe you should start taking some classes from seminary. Maybe you should do this. Maybe keep going. Here." What a blessing. Because it wasn't just a phase. It's not just a phase. Crave. Crave what you have found. Crave what has been given to you. You're commanded by Scripture to do that. Your life should not be normal. You should be the odd ones in the world. You know, and I still crave. You probably hear me complain about it sometimes. Remind me not to do that. But I still crave what the church could be. What it's commanded to be in Scripture. What the possibility of this is. What Peter is talking about. What the Scripture itself proclaims and commands that the church is to be. And can be. Right here and now in this life. This is what Christ has made possible. And it's not something to be passively waited for. It's something to be longed for. To be craved. As newborn infants instinctively, eagerly, incessantly crave their mother's milk. As though it were expected of you. Not something abnormal. It's expected of you and it's needful for life, the life of the church. And if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good and you crave these things, rid yourselves of all and everything that's hindering you and those around you from craving this pure spiritual milk. From seeking it out. That which is necessary for you, for your growing up into salvation, of all and everything that is hindering you and those around you from being built up into a spiritual house. A holy priesthood. From offering spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Free of malice, free of deceit. Free of hypocrisy, free of envy, free of slander. You can't love one another earnestly if that's going on behind the scenes. We can't do it. You cannot crave what you secretly don't want. So let us rid ourselves once for all. Be done with it. It's not a phase. This is life. It's real. And being born again is real. So let's rid ourselves of all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. And like newborn infants, crave the pure spiritual milk. It comes from the church. That nurtures and nourishes our new lives in Christ. Don't just come for the preaching of the word. That's good. It's foundational. It's only the tip of the iceberg. Right? Only the tip of the iceberg. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning for your word and the scriptures. We thank you for this message from Peter to the church, for the church, of who we are in Christ because of the word, your word of the gospel, your word become flesh and dwelling among us, living a perfect life and going to the cross to atone for our sins that we could be born again, that your spirit could indwell us, be with us always, and we with you. And Lord, that we could become the church as it ought to be. And Lord, we thank you for this word of yours, this instruction, these teachings, Lord. Help us to put them into practice in our lives. Help us not to just, as James says, to be hearers of the word and not doers of the word. Lord, we know woefully that we are needy of it. Help us to crave it. Help us to be in that which you've called us to be. Your church. A spiritual house, of a holy priesthood who offers spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to you in Christ Jesus. In his name, we ask all of this.